You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Extremely wicked, shockingly evil, and meh.
Yeah.
Extremely boring, shockingly meh, and really boring. I didn't have a good way to end that.
Extremely tacky, shockingly well acted, and yeah, vile.
Pretty much. Yeah. There's a lot of ways we can describe this movie. Extremely wicked, shockingly evil, and vile. Well, so this is a biopic movie about the infamous serial killer Ted Bundy, who, you know...
And his girlfriend.
They say that. This is like in name only, it's a movie about the girlfriend. This is a movie about Ted Bundy and how much of a smooth motherfucker he was.
Well, see, that's the thing that I feel like is the biggest problem with this movie. And I'm sorry, I know, I'm trying to give a little bit of setup before this, but... So, the movie... is about Ted Bundy, but there's a big deal about his girlfriend, who's being played by Lily Collins here, where, you know, she only discovers things are going on when Bundy's arrested in Utah over a speeding ticket, of all things. And that's when it starts to unfold a huge pile of evidence from previous cases where it's like, yeah, your boyfriend may well be this guy who's murdered, like, oh, I don't know, like 24 people during this time. And... I mean, to this day, we're still finding victims of Ted Bundy. We don't know how many people he officially killed, but it's horrifying, to say the least.
And the movie seems less concerned with that and more of just kind of the person, but I don't think, again, I feel like what the biggest problem with this movie is it's very unfocused, is it spends a good chunk of the movie just talking about Ted as if he's just a regular dude, he's just a family man, he's just doing this stuff, and it's like... I personally never felt throughout the course of this movie you ever get a clear representation that this guy is a serial killer. It's just, he's just a smooth-talking guy, like we're watching a Hangover movie. Like, if this was a movie freaking, oh my god, I keep forgetting his fucking name. The guy who plays Rocket Raccoon would play
Bradley
him in
Cooper.
The fucking movie. Yeah, Bradley Cooper would play him in the fucking movie. That's all I got for this guy, he's just a smooth-talker. But I never got that he was manipulative. I never really got that he's the serial killer that killed all these people.
He manipulated a lot of people in this movie, like, constantly.
But we never got a sense of malice.
Here's the problem with that. Like, you know, I'm sorry, I'll let Davey talk a little bit too in just a second. But the biggest issue here is that they're trying to give equal time to Lily Collins and Zac Efron as Ted Bundy. Because they clearly want to frame this movie as if it's from Lily Collins' perspective of being in denial that Ted Bundy was a serial killer. Which, you know, based on historical fact that, you know, his girlfriend, or at least this first girlfriend before he totally abandons her, she very much was in denial about this for a long time. She didn't want to believe, because no one wants to believe that their boyfriend is capable of doing even just, you know, a little bit of the stuff they imply Ted Bundy was doing in this. You know, it's like...
Yeah, I mean, my girlfriend's still in denial, and I've killed, what, like 4 people now?
This is unrecorded.
Yeah, we might need to talk a little bit after, Davey. But, yeah, that's the problem, though, is that it really, you know, it wants you to see the human side of Ted Bundy. And I get that it's very, you know, I mentioned Alan before, it's very Mindhunter. But I will agree that Mindhunter does that a lot better, you know, trying to show this, like, yeah, there's still a human side to these because they're human beings, but they're also nasty serial killers.
Okay, but the thing about Mindhunters, and what Mindhunter does very, very well, is there is never a point in Mindhunters where you ever feel like these people didn't do it. You know from almost the get-go, even if they don't tell you, you know from the get-go their mannerisms, the way they speak to the officers. You always felt in Mindhunters that these people did it. With this, you never get that. You never feel like Ted Bundy is a bad person. And yes, that's based on, you know, actual, like, when you look at the recordings and the news and all that stuff. But if you have no idea who the hell Ted Bundy is, and you walk in here, this movie almost is trying to paint him like he's an innocent person. You never get a sense that this guy is a serial killer. Go watch something like American Crime Story, People vs. O.J., where O.J. proclaims he's innocent throughout the whole season, but all of the police records, all of the witnesses, every single thing paints him as this horrible murderer, but he himself acts innocent, and they do it really well, where you always feel like O.J. did it the whole fucking time. This, until the very fucking end, I was like, did Ted Bundy actually do any of this shit?
Well, Davey, why don't you talk a little bit? We've been just rambling on for a while.
No, but I mean, I didn't have anything to say because you guys hit the nail on the head. Like, I don't think this movie thinks thinks Ted Bundy was all that bad of a guy, because the director, Joe Berlinger, is also doing the conversations with the killer Ted Bundy tapes, which I haven't seen. I honestly have no interest in watching them.
See, because I actually started watching it right after I watched this movie, and one, I think that documentary series is a much better series than this movie is. Like it's much better made and better told. But two, In the series, there's no doubt that Ted Bundy killed those people. Like, from the get-go, they make that clear. So
that's very interesting, because the vibe that I got from this movie was that the people involved, like, kind of didn't think Ted Bundy did it, and they only had... Because there's one scene in the movie where you see him, like the first 10% of one of his murders.
Yeah, which apparently that was a very conscious decision of theirs to not show any of the killings except for that one little bit they hint at the very end. Because
I think that's a mistake.
I agree. I think that's a terrible decision.
Well, that's the problem, is that you're getting caught in the situation of being in between this movie and then being a movie like The House That Jack Built. You know, that movie with Lars von Trier.
Right.
Where it's like, that one went gratuitously into detail about the murders committed. To the
point, but you don't got to go to the fucking opposite extreme of having no killings.
No, I know. That's the problem. This movie seems to be the other side where, because I will agree with you on this, that this movie, even compared to the real life crimes, feels kind of sanitized, where they even in the stuff that they explain to you in this movie, like, they say, oh yeah, he committed killings in Utah and Colorado and these places. They also very overtly decided to not include Idaho on there, because he did kill a couple people in there, but they're like, nobody cares what happens in Idaho, right?
I mean, you're right.
I have a theory about this movie, because when I was done watching it, I was like, why did this feel so weirdly marketable? I think they filmed this movie for a PG-13 rating.
Well, and that's the weird thing, that it's mostly PG-13 except for, like, maybe one or two scenes where he says the F-word, and then just the nature of the discussion, so...
I only counted one. I only counted one.
It was the one during, when he yells at the lawyer. Yeah, but...
Yeah, there's only one. That was another time where he's about to say it to Lily Collins, and he stops himself, and I'm like, why would you... Oh, this movie was filmed for people.
Well, no, and that's funny too, because the part when he doesn't swear in the beginning is because one detail they very overtly cut out and make no allusions to whatsoever, that Ted Bundy's character in that point, he was a Latter-day Saint. He actually joined my church for a few years, and then they excommunicate him immediately after they found out what was going on and behind the scenes. But that's the thing, that's why he doesn't swear in the beginning, and then they just decide, we don't need to talk about any of that stuff, even though that was kind of a big deal when he was arrested.
That makes a lot of sense, and the fact that they didn't put that in there concerns me even more. I am convinced that this movie was trying to be like a PG-13, like, four quadrant movie, because this is to Ted Bundy what Twilight was to vampires. Like,
okay,
Ted Bundy,
we're not gonna go, okay, wow.
I'm gonna go there, because the biggest issue with this movie is Ted Bundy is hot and charismatic, and you don't really know if he did it. Like, up until the very end, if you didn't know this story, you would just think that this was a movie about a really charismatic, handsome son of a bitch who got falsely accused by a bunch of, like, extenuating circumstances. And that's weird. That's a weird thing to do for Ted Bundy.
And at the same time, they show him manipulating people all throughout the movie and acting the way of serial killers. It's just,
not
that's the
really,
whole...
though, because I brought Bradley Cooper in, like, Hangover and other movies, because if you don't know this guy's a serial killer, he is just a guy that's really good at hitting on women. The only reason you feel like he's manipulating these people is because you have prior knowledge that he's a serial killer and that he's killed so many people. If you have no knowledge, he is just hitting on a bunch of chicks. That's all he's fucking doing.
Well, I mean, except for how he manipulates Ann Carroll's character, which is being played by... Oh, gosh, I need to look up her name.
It's been bugging me the whole time. I don't know.
Caius Cotelario.
Is that her? That's not Caius Cotelario, was it?
Looking like I, Tanya's mom. You can't tell me it doesn't look like the woman that plays Itania's mother.
Oh no, you're right. Sorry, that was another character. Okay, yes, that is Caius Cotelario. Wow, I did not even recognize her. There we go. That's how good that was.
Yeah, but again, this movie requires you to have a lot of homework and basically take it on the movie's word that the Zac Efron's character is a serial killer. Besides the movie literally just telling you that, you get no indication. What they should have done at the start of the movie is they have a 15-minute sequence in which he is just going ham on a bunch of fucking women randomly.
I see, and you have no context. I don't agree. I think the biggest problem this movie actually isn't all that stuff about Ted Bundy, which is a problem, but I think the biggest problem is that Lily Collins in this movie is completely unnecessary. Because I actually heard a lot of reviews of people saying, man, the movie got a lot more boring when Lily Collins leaves the scene. And I'm like, I feel the opposite. The problem is that Lily Collins, I think she's an okay actress. I don't think she can carry a movie at all by herself.
Like, I don't think she can carry a movie, but also I don't think this script... I don't think anyone could have really carried this character. I think she honestly gives probably the best performance I've seen from her. But yeah, it's still... Like, the character just isn't interesting enough because... And I think that it goes back to the fact that we don't really have any concrete belief that this is all really happening. Like, there's none of that moral complexity. I feel like the movie, because, spoilers for history, Ted Bundy proposes to Carol Ann on the witness stand. It's like a big theatrical thing.
Which he did specifically, like, purely just so he can make the excuse that he was a married man and they shouldn't kill him.
Exactly. But it treats him doing that against Lily Collins, like, as an infidelity thing. They treat that with more severity than the murders that he committed.
And that's the problem, again, is that they're trying to make the focus on Lily Collins, but by that point when she's out of the movie, you forget that she's a factor in that story. You know, you forget...
Oh, yeah, because... The movie can't help itself but, like, have these long lingering shots on Zac Efron, like, looking at the camera and winking and, like, doing all this suave stuff. It's like, the movie, if, like, the movie wanted to be, like, a thoughtful deconstruction of this story, but it couldn't help itself. It was too enamored with the story.
Well, that's the problem, too, that a lot of the movie is trying to be, like you said, it's trying to add this weird sense of fun to the story, which was a bad call, because, like, there's a whole bunch of music montages throughout this movie, and at some point that started to grate on my nerves like crazy. I'm just like, enough of the jukebox music. Let's get back to the actual movie, thank you.
Okay, but that's the thing. Like, that's not necessarily a bad thing, because the second season of American Crime Story, which is the assassination of Versace, does very similar things.
Which I was not as crazy about that season either.
So. Oh, true. But I know people that loved it, and even watching it, I'm like, okay, they give you a sense that the whole time, because the guy who assassinated Versace and Ted Bundy, they have very similar personalities. They're fast talkers. They're lying.
Oh, yeah, Kunanen was very much a Ted Bundy type. Yeah, Andrew Kunanen. Oh, so, yeah.
100%, yeah. But with this, it's just like, to me, I don't think it gets more or less interesting with her gone. I don't think it gets interesting until the hour mark when the court case starts, and they get the guy from The Big Bang Theory, who's apparently just a great actor.
Well, so that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. That's where the movie got better, is when they actually focus on the court case, which honestly should have been the focus of this movie, I must say.
It is the best part. I mean, I don't know if it's the best part, because I fucking love court cases. I fucking love when people are just making a mockery of the court and just doing shit that you never, ever have in the court.
That's where it would have been more interesting to explore Zac Efron's character as a serial killer, because that's the thing, is that everything about him in terms of his manipulative behavior, in the terms of how he uses people for his own gain, you can see that in those courtroom sequences. There's just not enough of them, you know.
Yeah, 100%, especially when his lawyer turns to him and goes, fuck you, I laugh my goddamn ass off.
But, like, one of the best moments in the movie is during the court case when he's talking to the judge, played by John Malkovich, and John Malkovich is, like, warming up to him in a weird way, and, like, kind of being playful and all that stuff, but it's filmed like, aw, look, like, he's getting some grace from this.
See,
from this
judge. I never believed that for a second, that John Malkovich liked him in this story, because that's the
thing. I never believed John Malkovich as a judge.
Well, that's another thing, that when I saw what the real judge looked like, John Malkovich looks nothing like that judge, first of all. But
even past him, I always felt John Malkovich was just really bad in this.
See, like, I actually thought his scenes with him were, like, some of the only great acting scenes, because that's the thing, is that Zac Efron in this movie, which we've failed to talk much about him at all in terms of his acting ability, I do think this is actually one of his very best performances he's ever done.
He is incredible to watch. Yeah. I would say he's too good at this.
And that's the thing, that's maybe why people are so concerned, because it's like, yeah, Zac Efron is playing him like a charming dude trying to convince you he's not a serial killer, but the best scenes of acting are honestly the ones with him and John Malkovich, because those scenes, one, they're very accurate to the actual court case, how it happened, but two, they're the only scenes that actually have any gravitas to them, like, especially that last scene with them together, and because, honestly, they could have gotten anybody to play Jim Parsons' role in this movie. Like, I know he can actually act, because I've seen him in other movies, but did he have any scenes that really made you go, you know what, I'm glad Jim Parsons is here, he's really
good. He was believable, and I think that's really important. He felt like he belonged in that world, unlike John Malkovich, where I felt like John Malkovich was just reading a script. I'm like, you're really kind of sucking the air out of the room, but, you know, hey, the other guy, he's really fucking good. But I think that if we had a scene in which we actually viscerally saw Ted Bundy kill people, that courtroom scene would have been even better, because we know how much of a piece of shit liar he is, and then we think, oh my god, is he gonna win? Because I
don't know if I fully agree with that showing the killings would make it better. Like, it would have been different for sure, but I feel like you could still sell the fact that he's without a doubt guilty based even some of the evidence stuff they show in this movie, like what they say about the teeth marks, what they say
but
about
they
the...
barely focus on that. They use it as filler during
and
the
no case. That's the problem. The problem is they had the ingredients to make you believe he's a serial killer. There's just all these scenes they cut back to Lee Collins going, oh no, I'm going crazy because my boyfriend's a serial killer. And it's
yeah,
just
and Haley Joel Osment's there in the background, just like,
oh,
hey,
that was him.
Yeah, talk about a thankless role. Jeez,
I thought he was dead.
What?
But like, I think the reason why we keep bringing up the idea of like showing the killings is because it's quite frankly a lazy way of showing this concept.
Yeah, it's weird.
But,
it's weird to think.
But like,
it's
exactly as lazy as the rest of the movie, I think, in a weird way. Like, I think that's the only way that this movie could have successfully showcase that idea is by showing the killings. It doesn't even have to be brutal. We just need visual confirmation that he did it.
Yeah.
I mean, and we really don't get that until literally the last few minutes of the movie, which, again, was a...
And even then, it's super tame, and, like, you never actually, like, you just see, like, part one of 17.
Yeah, which...
They don't even need to show all, like, 17, 30, whatever the fuck. If they had more scenes, like the last scene at the start... And kept the movie the same, it would have helped a lot of what the movie was going for. But the biggest problem with this movie is it's unfocused. Like, it is so random. Him getting caught happens in the middle of some other bullshit, and it feels so random.
Which,
it feels,
I mean,
like
that's
no
how he
flow
got
to this movie.
That is kind of true to how he got caught, was that...
But as far as the narrative flow of the movie, it doesn't happen in a sense of there's no dramatization about it. It is just almost like the movie just tripped over itself. Oh, yeah, he's caught. It's like, wait, you didn't build this up. You didn't lead it to anywhere. You didn't establish anything that's going on. Like, oh, maybe he's sneaking out a lot. And Lily Collins like, hey, what are you doing out so late? It just kind of happens randomly. He's like, well, I'm going to go study for finals. By the way, I killed 30 people.
Yeah. No,
also, at one point, he escapes from prison, which is a legitimately exciting sequence. And they recapture him off screen.
Twice.
Yeah, like, they're just like, Lily Collins is looking at the news and like, by the way, Ted Bundy's back in jail. And she's like, I guess he's back in jail. And I'm like, oh, I guess he's back in jail.
Yeah.
Like, there's no effect to that.
It's weird because they're trying to condense down the story to the, like, you know, most essential details. And yet it still feels like they're cutting out a ton of stuff to talk about this. Like, a lot of stuff that honestly, yeah, no, it really should have been a TV miniseries, because there's a lot of important details that they just go, eh, you know what we're talking about. It's like, no, we don't. Please tell us. Like, it's almost as if it's like almost like you said, Alan. Like, it assumes, like, Joe Berlinger assumes you've seen his documentary series and goes, well, now you know what all these details to fill the background. Let's watch this movie, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And even if I knew those details, which I know a few of the details, I know enough to be like, yeah, he killed people.
Yeah.
But, like, even if I knew those details, that's still the movie's job to explain that to me within the narrative of the film. Because when I walk into the movie, all my other prior knowledge goes out the door, unless there was like extremely wicked, shockingly evil, and vile part zero, the prequels.
Yeah, like, which are probably the Ted Bundy tapes, but even if you had a lot of prior knowledge walking in, it still cuts out things that could be really interesting as far as your dramatic role. It's like, again, imagine the next Harry Potter fucking movie requires you to have read the book prior, and then just something like this, you'd be like, this is a terrible fucking movie.
Or it's like
the Harry Potter.
Or it's like the new Halo games that make you assume that you've already read the books before you even start playing the game to understand who the main character of the story is.
Yeah,
yeah,
that
like, that's
never
bad
works.
Writing.
Yeah.
No, I agree. Like, and that's the thing. Like, I may not be as in, like visceral in, like, disappointment, hate with that with you guys. I do agree, though, this movie is super unfocused, kind of underwhelming, and shockingly decently acted at points. You know, it's just one of those.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. I just feel like this movie could have been a lot better, and yet every time they had a chance to make a better movie, they kind of just went the safe route. They're just like, no, we don't want to do that. And it's just, yeah. It's really disappointing with that. I mean, in terms of actual filmmaking, though, again, it's not a badly put together movie. It's just nothing that would make you go, wow. Like, it's decently shot. It's decently edited on the whole. You know, it's...
Yeah, it's competent.
Yeah, it's a competently made movie. It's just the biggest problem is the way that it's written and the way that certain scenes are structured. Because honestly, I can also say this, that there's barely any actual, like, memorable scenes, like, individual scenes in this movie. Like, there's one near the very end with Lily Collins and Zac Efron, which I think was actually the single best piece of acting in this whole movie.
Oh, probably.
Yeah, and it's the poster.
Yeah, and the scene that technically starts the movie before they cut back, which was an awkward choice. But then...
I was waiting for them to freeze frame and, like, go on Lily Collins and have her narration be like, now you're probably wondering how I got in this pickle.
That would have been
better.
No, this
is fucking Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Let's have the end of the movie be the start of the movie and you not know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah. It's just weird like that, and I feel like it could have been a lot better if they had taken some more risks. And honestly, I do kind of agree that this movie desperately needed to feel a little bit grimier. It didn't need to be nasty, it didn't need to be violent. It just needed to make you feel like this is a real serial killer. And the problem is, again, the music choices, the lack of showing anything that really makes him feel guilty. It's just, it feels, like you said, it's a Disney Channel version of a serial killer drama, almost, at points.
Like something like Zodiac. Like, Zodiac is not a super gory film, but you feel it.
That was a bad analogy, because that movie is boring as fuck.
That movie is fantastic. Shut up.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry. I'm on Davey's side here. I don't love it, but I think that's a better
example. No, you have fucking Jake Gyllenhaal doing the same face he does his entire fucking career.
Okay, let's not throw shade at Jake Gyllenhaal. Okay?
Watch me!
Wait until he's Mysterio, then we can talk about him.
No!
But anyways,
you don't want any part of this, Justin.
Watch me boringly act at you.
But anyways, in terms of the actual movie, are there any other points to make about things other than just the disappointment about the serial killer stuff, or?
Everyone kind of tries their best. I think Lily Collins, like, she is trying her best. I think that she's just not given a lot to do. Everyone that comes steps forward, with the exception of John Malkovich, I feel very much does their job very, very well, where you feel like they're believable in this world. It's just, this is a very unfocused movie. As someone that loves serial killers and I love true crime, this is a massive disappointment of a movie.
You might want to rephrase a guy who loves serial killers, but...
Fuck yeah. Oh yeah, like, yeah, we don't want to overshadow Davies admitting and murdering people. We don't want to overshadow that part.
I mean, hey, you and Lily Collins can, like, hang out, have a book club, because you guys both love serial killers.
No.
Comedy.
Okay. So then, actually, Alan, if you like to, why don't you segue that to your final thought and final rating, then?
Sure, okay. I think that there are a lot of other shows, American Crime Story, Making a Murderer, Mindhunters, that do this kind of exact same premise a lot better. So this is very disappointing. So I guess I'm going to give this a 2 out of 5 badly shown teeth.
Man, I didn't realize how bad. Like, for a dude, they try to proclaim how, like, charming he is and how good looking he is. His teeth are nasty in this movie.
Oh, it's fucking ugly as shit.
Yeah, it was the 70s. I don't think they knew what good teeth were.
What, were they the British or something? Or
his teeth were British, man.
I don't know. I was born in 1998. I don't know how time works.
They didn't show Zac Efron's mouth at all because Zac Efron probably has perfect teeth.
Yeah, sure, those clearly did look like dentures too. There's no way that's Zach's actual teeth. But Davey, what do you think?
There's so many things to like about this movie because it is pretty well shot and put together, and the acting, like, Lily Collins tries her best. John Malkovich is weirdly cast, but he's still John Malkovich. Zac Efron is legitimately fantastic. I think he gives a wonderful performance, and he does everything that the movie asks him to do too well, to the point where it makes the movie less good because of how good he is, and I think that should be commended. But I can't get over how icky and confused and lost this movie made me feel, just as a viewer. I thought this was going to be something, not necessarily special, but at least something with a really cool angle and something worthwhile to say, and I was massively disappointed by pretty much everything except for the acting. So I give this movie 3 out of 10 really uncomfortable sex scenes next to a vending machine.
Darn it, that was my rating too.
Damn it, sorry, man.
No, it's fine. Which, funny enough, that, again, according to historical fact, that actually did happen.
Oh, I believe that.
Oh, good, I'm glad they kept that.
Yeah, well, aren't you glad you got to see how they he knocked out that woman and made her pregnant with his baby? Well, that's really great.
Oh,
stuff,
absolutely. Like that's the most important part, the realization the little Bundy Jr. gonna cry is somewhere out there.
Yeah, which apparently they legally have to change their name, of course, because it's like, oh yeah, by the way, you really don't want to be associated with that at all.
Oh, yeah, no, don't worry, but like, I would also change my name.
No, I feel like I'm the nice guy on here again, which seems to be my role as the nice guy on everything in these podcasts, but I'm not too far off from you guys, because I do feel like this movie is a massively missed opportunity. This could have been a really good look at a serial killer drama, because like you said, this literally is Zac Efron's best performance. It's really, really good, and I feel like this is really his... If anything's good that's going to come out of this movie, it's a stepping stone for him to go, I can be really strong in these kind of films. I can be a good actor. And I just wish that Joe Berlinger proved himself, too, to say I'm a really good fiction director. Because he's great at making documentaries. He's great at making these kind of series. He's just not great at fiction so far. And
yeah, it's what, this and Blair Witch 2?
He did make that.
They're making a Blair Witch 2?
No, he made Blair Witch 2.
Oh, God.
Book of Shadows.
Yeah, so that's the problem, is that he's just not very good at fiction. He's great at documentaries. He's made some amazing documentary movies. He's just not good at fiction making so far. So, I don't know. Again, I didn't hate it, but there was a point, even Lexi and I were both saying, we're just like, you know, it's all right. It's good. It's fine. So, I'm going to give it 5.5 out of 10. 5.5 times out of 10 that they named a city in Utah and I recognized it. I'm like, oh, Murray! Oh, I know where that is!
That's not a good thing. Like,
that's why he liked the movie so much.
Okay, I had to grasp onto something because they totally cut out all the church stuff. I'm just like, okay, at least they have some stuff about Utah in here. I gotta know.
That's true. Justin was like, oh, I know that place. And then like people were dying. He was like, oh, I don't want to go back to that place now.
There is a little of that, too, where I'm just like, ooh, Granger. I know some people live by Granger.